Welcome to the Faith Dialogue Podcast with your host, Pastor Ken Baer. Are you ready to swim in the deep end of the Bible pool or climb to the top of Faith Mountain? If so, open the eyes that see, those ears that hear, and a heart that is receptive. Get your cup of coffee and your Bible as we begin.
This morning, it's always a pleasure when we get together like this and open up the scriptures and get into the parables. So we give you a thanks in advance for all that you're going to teach us today, in Jesus' name, amen. It's fun going through the parables, and if you remember, the last few parables have been kind of a culmination. Jesus is teaching his disciples, and they've asked him a question: tell us when the end times will be. When will all these things happen? Tell us about your second coming. So Jesus tells them a number of things, and in that he gives us a couple of parables. And one of the parables was the parable of the 10 virgins, which is obviously an end time parable because the virgins are out and they're waiting for the bridegroom to come, and some bring their oil and some don't. So the idea is being prepared. And then last week we had the parable of the talents, and one person was given 5 and one was 2 and one was 1. And it was an obvious end time parable. The whole idea is that there will be a time of judgment when all of us, whether all the things we've done, both good and bad, will be rewarded, or they'll lose their value. They'll lose their value. So it's an end times. And today we're into the parable of the sheep and the goats. And I'm going to read it for you. And I'll tell you that this is a very interesting parable. And we're not going to get into it real deep because we just have a half hour. You could actually do a 3-week series just on this parable. It's kind of like the parable of the prodigal son. Even though it's not as long as that, there's that much in it that a lot of times people will break it up into a number of weeks. But I'll tell you this, is that some people don't think that this is a parable at all, that actually there is a judgment that would happen to nations. So we'll get into it and we'll let you kind of figure that out as well. So this is out of Matthew 25, and it says this. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my brethren, you did it to me.' Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' Then they will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So, interesting parable, isn't it? Interesting parable. So remember, we said that with these parables, we try to search for the meaning. I really teach that in almost all of Scripture, there is a specific meaning to everything. And it's our job to search for it. It's our job to search for the meaning. Now, there's some exceptions to that. For example, there's some prophecies. There was a prophecy that before the coming of the Lord, Elijah would come. And that's an example of a prophecy that we believe comes twice, because Jesus comes twice. Jesus came as a baby born in Bethlehem, and John the Baptist was seen to be the Elijah that was to come. And at the same time, Jesus will be coming again in the future. And when he comes again, I believe, again, we'll see an Elijah figure. Could be Elijah, like we see in the book of Revelation, one of these two prophets. It could be something else, but there'll be an Elijah figure of some kind that will come before the second coming of Jesus Christ. But our job is to look for the meaning. And I told you before that that's sometimes difficult. And even as a pastor that I've been doing this for a while and I've gone to school, I still struggle sometimes trying to find the specific meaning. And on this one, I can tell you that I've narrowed it down to a couple of possibilities. But what's more fun than that is to look at the applications. Because every scripture verse has many applications. Because each, if there's five of us sitting here, there's actually five separate applications. What does the Lord want you to do? What is the Lord telling you to do? What is the Lord teaching you in this scripture? So when we read the scripture, we come away better because we learn from these scriptures and it tells us to do something. So in this, it's pretty simple what the application is. There's people that are thirsty. There's people that are in prison. There's people that are naked. There's people that are in need. And the Lord wants us to meet those needs. The Lord wants us to meet those needs. So they said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in? When was that? And here's the other application. Jesus says, well, when you did it to anyone, you did it to me also. So there's two applications here. One is that there are needy people in this world. We see them all around us. And actually, our job is to find a way to be able to help them. That doesn't mean we can help everybody. Jesus said you'll have the poor always. They'll always be poor. There's always going to be more people that need help than you individually can help. There's no way that any one of us can go and help everybody that needs help. We'll be exhausted. And that's just before the end of the day. There's no way. But we're still called to be accountable to be able to help those people that are in need. And that takes prayer and it takes discernment. I mean, all of us get requests from different organizations for funding or for our attention or for our time or for our prayer. And our job is not to answer all of them, but with the Lord's help to figure where should we be involved. If I've got a couple copper pennies, if I've got a little bit of money, and I'm going to send it to somebody that's going to help somebody, who am I going to send it to? And that's a matter of prayer. That's a matter of prayer and research and feeling good about it. But when you release it, it's as if you're giving it to the Lord. I like that application. I like the application two ways. I like the application that anytime we help somebody, whether it's somebody that's hungry and needs a meal or somebody that needs clothing and we help them out, whether we give them some of our used clothing or we find a way to buy them something. I like it that when we do that, we've actually done it to the Lord, which is good because sometimes I've given people something and I wonder what they're really going to do with it. I wonder if they really were that needy. You know, if somebody comes up to me, have you ever had the situation where you're putting gas in your car and all of a sudden you're just minding your own business, putting gas in your car, and somebody comes over to you and they tell you a story and they say, oh, can you help me out? My wife is pregnant, you know, and she's going to give birth and we're just driving through town. We're trying to get back home, you know, to see my mom and dad for the holidays or for a birthday. And we've run out of gas. And could you help us with a few dollars to be able to get some gas? That happens all the time. It seems like that's one of the common stories. And here's the thing, is that whether it's true or not, if you decide to help somebody, the Bible says that when you've done it to the least of these, you're actually doing it to the Lord. So we can feel good if we put a little discernment. We're not going to just be stupid about it. But if we try to help somebody, what they do with that money afterwards is between them and God. Because my transaction has already been with God. It's already been with God. If you remember, Jesus told a story. It's usually used in stewardship, you know, giving, where he's watching the people that are coming into the temple. And he talks about a widow that puts two small copper coins into the offering. And the two little copper coins at the time was probably only worth less than a cent. It was very, very small little offering. And Jesus pointed it out to his disciples, and he says, I tell you the truth, that this woman has given more to God than the rest of them, because she gave out of her very need. So again, it's the same principle. Even though the woman put two small copper coins into the jar going into the temple, and even though the people that were receiving it maybe didn't care at all, maybe they took the two copper coins and even threw it out and said, two copper coins, I don't need money that jingles, I need the money that folds. I want to be able to see silver and gold, not copper. Who wants copper? And they threw the copper out. It didn't matter. They have to be judged for that. The woman, however, as soon as that transaction was made, God saw it. It was as if she gave the money to God. So I love the application in the sheep and the goats, because there's an opportunity for us to be good, and when we do good, God notices it, and we're rewarded for it. This is about a reward for those people that give. That's an application. On the other side, there's a warning here, isn't there? Because there's a warning. He turns to the ones on his left side, which are the goats, and he says, depart from me, okay? You cursed into the everlasting fire that's been prepared for you. And he says, because I was thirsty and you didn't give me anything. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. And I was hungry. I needed clothing. You didn't clothe me. You didn't come and visit me. You didn't do anything for me. And they answer, well, we didn't do that. When did we see you? And he says, of course, when you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. And I like the application there. As a pastor, I'm often asked, Pastor, are you sure that there's only one way to heaven? That it's only Jesus? I mean, who are you to say that unless you know Jesus, you can't get into heaven? That seems very, very harsh for God to do that. And I said, here's the thing. There's two things I want you to keep in mind. Number one, I didn't say it, the Bible said it. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And here's the thing also, is that you'll be judged not so much of whether you know Jesus or not, but if you don't know Jesus, you'll be judged like the goats. If you want to stand before God and say, well, I didn't know Jesus, well, they'll say, well, okay, let's go to page 2. Did you feed the hungry? Did you care for the poor? Did you provide food and clothing for those people? What was your religion? What did you believe? How faithful were you to what you did believe? And they're going to say, I did some things, but I didn't do it all. And you see, the judgment isn't so much whether they know Jesus or not. The judgment is right here. I was hungry, and you didn't give me anything to eat. I was a stranger, and you didn't visit me. I was thirsty, you didn't give me anything to drink. See, all around us, we have people that are needy. And I think that's the judgment that comes on people. It isn't so much that they didn't become a Christian. They didn't respond to a call by Billy Graham. Their name isn't written into a Bible. They don't have a date that they can remember when they came to Christ. It isn't that they know the scriptures. It isn't that they know these things. But if they don't, then they're going to be judged based on their charity. How well do they love people? How well do they encourage people? And if there's no encouragement there, then they've got to fall back on something else. And if there's nothing to fall back on, there's nothing left for them but judgment. So I like the application. Now, this is just an application. It's not the meaning of this, but this is a good application for us. A good application for us. Let me tell you this. I'm not even looking at my notes. I'm just going to tell you what it says. There's a couple of different ways that people look at this scripture verse. One of them is there's people that say, I think that this is a true judgment of the nations. This is at the end time. This is typically somewhat just as Jesus returns. Jesus returns from heaven. This is a judgment that's happening on the earth. And there's a judgment of the nations because that's the way it's translated. And the nations will be judged. And the reason they think that is a couple of reasons. One is we see that in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah and the prophet Ezekiel, the prophet Daniel, had judgments on nations. So for example, Egypt was judged based on how well they treated Israel. Babylon was judged based on how well they treated Israel. Edom was judged for their goodness or their badness, and there was a judgment that God had on these nations. So that's a possibility. The other reason is because the word nations is used, because it says that the king will come in his glory and he'll with his, and all the nations will be gathered before him. Well, here's the thing. The word nations there is the same word that we've seen before, and it's ethnos, where we get ethnics. So I would say, what ethnic group do you belong to? What ethnic belong? You know, I say, well, I'm German or I'm Asian. Those are ethnicities, okay? So the word that's translated nations here is also just treated as people groups, tribes. The word tribes, for example, that's often treated, it comes from this word ethnos as well. In fact, sometimes in the Bible, it's translated as Gentiles, because often it's talking to the Jewish people and it talks about the ethnic groups and it talks about the Gentiles. So I don't think we can hang our hat on the fact that this is a separate judgment of actual nations at the time. So I'm not sure about that. I do think that it has a lot to do with the judgment at the end of the time. I like it that, I notice in it that the Son of Man comes in his glory. Isn't that, I love that? Jesus, remember when Jesus is teaching his disciples. Jesus is a rabbi, but he was born in a stable. He's about to be crucified, okay? He told his disciples that he has no place to lay his head, okay? He's a traveling evangelist, basically, talking about the kingdom of God. He has a treasure, but his treasure turns out to be Judas. So I'm not sure how well this ministry is going financially, because when you have a treasure like Judas, I'm not sure you can count on having a retirement plan. But here Jesus is saying, when the Son of Man, which is a term that he used to refer to himself, comes in his glory with all of his angels with him. So Jesus is talking about a time in the future. Jesus is looking forward to the future and realizing that even though he's going to be going to the cross, and even though he's going to suffer and die, Jesus is already looking forward to the time when he comes back. And when he comes back, he's not going to come like he did the first time. He is going to be coming back in his glory. So this parable, the meaning of this parable is definitely end times. It basically talks about the end of the time. But then the question is still the sheep and the goat. And I've tried to try to figure out what that means to me. One of the problems that some people have with this is it appears that Jesus is talking about being judged on whether you go to heaven or to hell based on your works. How well did you feed the people that were hungry? How well did you give to people that were needy? How well were you active doing good things? Well, all through the New Testament, we're told that we're saved by our faith, not by our works. That the works we do are things that we do because we've already been saved, because we've already come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that all of our good works without Christ are nothing more than filthy rags. So it can't be that. So I'm looking at the scripture verse, and I'm trying to figure out, well, why is he using a parable where it looks so easily? I mean, just to somebody that's reading this through, it looks like somehow that we're judged based on our works. And then I realize that the title is The Parable of the Sheep and the Goats. And I say, oh, that's right. He's talking to the sheep and the goats. Well, we've had a number of different parables when Jesus is talking about being a good shepherd, right? And if Jesus is a good shepherd, the flock, the people that follow him, are called sheep. They're all called sheep. Jesus said in John 10, he says, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. I am the good shepherd. There's a number of scripture verses, particularly in the Gospel of John, that talks about that Jesus is the shepherd and we are the sheep. We're the ones that are defenseless, that the shepherd takes care of us. He's the one that leads us into good pasture. So it appears that the sheep that are separated, first of all, are the people that are following Jesus. Being a sheep, see, if the goats do good things, they're still goats, right? if the goats do good things, if the goat said, now wait a minute, I was able to feed a few people. I remember giving some old pants that were all ratty, and I gave them to somebody that didn't have any pants, okay? And I remember on Christmas, and there was this guy jingling this bell that said Salvation Army, and I passed him up 25, 30 times, but finally, I had so much change in my hand, I didn't know what to do with it, and I threw it in the bucket, okay? Well, here's the thing. If a goat does that, they're still a goat. Goats don't become sheep. See that when the Son of Man came in glory, the first thing he did was he separated the sheep from the goats. So then he talks to the sheep and he says, come into the kingdom because I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink, and I was naked and you clothed me. And they said, wait. I've been going to church and I know Jesus, and I've done a couple of good things, but I don't remember you ever being hungry. I don't remember you ever being thirsty. When did I do these things for you? And Jesus says, no, you don't understand. You're my sheep. You see, any time you did anything for anybody because of the love of Christ, you did it unto me. So you're my sheep. I want you to come in and enjoy with me. I've prepared a place for you. So come in and enjoy the reward that's for you because you're my sheep. And anytime you do anything for anybody in Jesus' name, Bible says that. Anybody that gives a cup of cold water in Jesus' name will be rewarded. So these are being rewards because of something they've got. Then Jesus turns to the goats and he said, you lousy goats. I was hungry. You didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. And they said, wait. I've done those things. I don't remember ever doing it for you. When were you ever hungry? And he said, no, you haven't seen. When you didn't do it for any of those people. Whenever you passed up one person that was thirsty and you didn't give them something to drink. Whenever you saw one person that was in need and you passed them by. You passed me by at the same time. You turned your back on me, and because you turned your back on me, you turned your back on the rest of the people. Depart from me. See, Jesus separates them, sheep and goats. The sheep are the people that hear his voice. He's the good shepherd. He's the one that calls the sheep. He's the one that calls them by name. He's the one that leaves the 99. Remember that parable? He left the 99 and went after the one. Jesus is the one that goes after the one. He separates his sheep from the goats. Sheep are sheep and goats are goats. Even if a sheep finds somebody that's thirsty and doesn't give him a drink, he's still a sheep. He's still a sheep. He doesn't become a goat. He's still a sheep. They're separated based on whether they're sheep or goats. And then Jesus uniquely tells them exactly how they're either rewarded or they're going to be punished. You like that?
Amen.
I think that's the meaning. What do you think?
Suppose a goat decides to change.
Oh, a goat decides to change.
Right.
Well, a goat that wants to become a sheep.
And he can become a sheep.
Well, sure, because the Bible says that we are to be renewed and transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? So when we come to Jesus, when we understand who Jesus truly is, we are completely radically transformed. Radically transformed. In fact, the word that's used for transformation there is the word metamorphosis. And it's the same word that we use in the science community today, of the idea of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. It's the same thing. So can goat become sheep? Yes, the same way that a caterpillar can become a butterfly. But it's a one-way trip. It's a one-way trip, right? Caterpillar crawls into his cocoon. When he comes out as a butterfly. He can't go back and become a butterfly. So once you're a sheep, you can't go be a goat, you know? You can't be a goat again. So I like that. Like I said, this is one of those parables, and like you said, we could talk about this for a couple of weeks because there's so much there. But it's I like this. I remember when I was in Washington D.C. The organization that I ran was an organization known as the ECFA, which was the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Big a mouthful, right?
Yeah.
I had to have a big business card just to put all those words on there. But the idea of the ECFA was we were an accreditation agency. In the same way that colleges and universities were accredited so that your sons or daughters could go to a good school, we would provide an accreditation to Christian charities. Charities like the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association or World Vision or Every Home for Christ or large churches. Any organization that wanted to become a member of the ECFA and be accredited could. They just needed to follow our standards, and there are certain standards. And the reason I say this is because we had about 2,000 ministries. That's a lot. 2,000 ministries, 2,000 Christian organizations. We had all the largest ones, all the very largest organizations. Our combined, all of our members, their assets were over $60 billion. It was a huge organization. We had 21 CPAs that worked for us that would go and audit these organizations to make sure that we could keep that seal of approval on them. And the reason I say all this is because one of our biggest categories of ministry was ministries to the homeless. It was charitable ministries that were doing the work of feeding the hungry and providing shelter and group homes, and it was the poorest of the poorest. And when I got there, there was like two or three different categories, but they were all doing the same type of thing. And I said, why don't we just call these Matthew 25 ministries? Because that's what they're doing. They're finding people that are in need. They're finding people that are hungry. They're finding people that are in prison or people that need a handout. They need help. There's certain people that need help. They're poor. And these ministries are providing that kind of assistance. So I said, why don't we just call these people the Matthew 25 ministries and to kind of put them all together? And they thought that was a good idea. So when I would go to these conferences, I would speak to them, and I would always use these scripture verses too. Because they knew it. They knew these verses. They knew these verses just as we do. And I would say, you're the people that are doing the work that we're all called to do. So we're here to help you with whatever way we can, but we appreciate what you guys are doing. So, good? I like these verses. Well, let's pray. Father God, we want to thank you today that, again, you every time we open up the Bible, you give us so much to think about. So thank you, Lord, for the applications. Help us to be generous with all the gifts that you've given us. And at the same time, Lord, we are thankful that you have called us to be sheep. Thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the great shepherd and that he hears us and we hear his voice as well. And we give you all the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to Faith Dialogue with Pastor Ken Baer, recorded live at Celebrate Seniors, a ministry of faith dialogue. You can listen to or watch all of the recordings at Faith Dialogue by going to www.faithdialogue.org.